Morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. It is good to have you, and good to have, we have some visitors, and we're so glad you came our way this morning, and hope you'll come back each and every chance you have. I asked Bill, if he would this morning, to sing "This World Is Not My Home" to lead into our lesson this morning. And no one understands any more than me how hard times are today with this slow economy that we're in. Members of my family have had been seriously affected by it. However, brethren and friends, let us never take our sights off of the goal, which is heaven. Let us not be too consumed with our financial troubles that we forget that the Lord has given us everything that we have, and He has promised to take care of us if we're faithful. Let's not forget that this world is not our home, and that we're just passing through. Remember the course of that? Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Brethren, I get so concerned that we as Christians sometimes put our worldly treasures before the work of the Lord. And I plead with you, if this is the case in your life, and maybe you're not even aware of it, please take the time this morning to put everything in perspective and make your life right with God while there's still time. In Acts 20 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He said, all of the counsel of God. And as an evangelist, it is my responsibility to do just that, to declare all of God's word as I have opportunity, leaving nothing unsaid and nothing unstudied. To that end, I'm going to address a subject this morning which I have no idea when it was last preached here at Prairie Village, but I want to talk to you this morning about giving, So please open your Bibles and follow along with me if you would. As always, I never want you to take my word, only the word of God. Now, in the New Testament, there are a number of privileges given us as well as a number of obligations placed upon our shoulders. When properly understood, all of these obligations are privileges in that they are part of the Lord's work. One such obligation and privilege is for each of us to bear our part in the financing of the Lord's work here at Prairie Village. God has set forth a very simple plan of financing for His church, one that will enable us to do all the work that He has decided that we are to do, if every Christian will do his or her part. The truth of the matter is, God does not need the money. He owns the universe. The Lord's church does not solicit contributions from those who are not Christians. Why? Because we're not authorized to do that. The Lord's church does not have raffles or bingos or carnivals or cake sales or rummage sales or car washes or any other of those popular ways of raising funds because we are not authorized to do so. There is only one method given in the New Testament by which the work of the Lord is to be supported. For that reason, it is easy to see why it's so important that all Christians understand what the Bible says about giving, and that each Christian exercise this privilege and obligation to the very best of their ability. And as we consider the subject this morning, let's ask a few questions. First of all, why should I give? Why should I give? A very good question. The most basic answer to that is God has commanded it. That's why. God has commanded it. In passages that we're all familiar with, in both example and command, God has made this responsibility clear. God has commanded it. It is not a suggestion. It is a command from God Almighty, just as taking of the Lord's Supper or baptism or church of discipline or all of those things that He has commanded. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16th chapter, if you would. Let's read verses 1 and 2. We're told in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." Now listen now. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, and that there be no gatherings when I come. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we're told by Paul, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." God loves a cheerful giver. That's clear, brethren. God loves a cheerful giver. All who are Christians have a responsibility to give each first day of the week if they have been prospered. There are no exceptions to that. When we give, we are only giving back to the Lord a portion of that which He has so richly blessed us with. Everything we have, brethren, belongs to God. He gave it to us in the first place, and He can take it back just like that. And you know, brethren, the world and all that's in it belongs to the Lord. It does not belong to man, it's God's. All that we have has been given to us, and I believe that it is important to remember that fact. Now, the next question to consider is, what should I give? Another good question. I believe that 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5 answers that question most fundamentally. Look with me. Let's see what Paul says about this in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Brethren, first and foremost, we must give our whole selves to the Lord. That's the first thing we must do. Now look at Romans chapter 12, if you would. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Think of the significance, if you will. Think of the significance of presenting our bodies to the Lord as living sacrifices. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that all that we are, all that we have, is to be figuratively laid on the altar before the Lord to do with as He will. We are to give the Lord our talents. We are to give to the Lord our time. We are to give to the Lord our labor. And we are to give the Lord, should it prove to be necessary, even our very earthly lives for His cause. Turn to Acts 20 with me. Acts 20. Indeed, here we see Paul presented an example of the type of attitude we must have in his address to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, beginning with verse 22, when he said, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Brethren, that is the attitude Christians must have. And of course, we are to give to the Lord of our financial increase as we have been prospered. It's important to remember, brethren, that this isn't just a suggestion. It isn't something we might do or can do. It is something we are to do, no exceptions. And a third question for consideration is, how should we give? How should we give? Another good question. It's very easy to see, based on 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, which we just read, that we are to give regularly upon the first day of the week. We are to give individually, as the passage says, lay by him in store, and we are to give proportionately as God hath prospered. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, if you would. Now by looking at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, we can see that we should give liberally. Surely that's what Paul meant when he wrote, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." From verse 7 of that same chapter, we find that we should give purposely, as we are told, every man according as he has purposed in his heart. Meaning that is not something that we do on the spur of the moment as the plate is being passed around. Rather, it's something that we have planned to do with a certain amount of forethought. And finally, we can see that we should give cheerfully, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Yet another question needs to be considered. How much should I give? How much should I give? Let me say immediately that there is no percentage of our income that is required to be given to the work of the church in the New Testament. Therefore, it is up to each of us to make up our own decision as to how much we give based on what the Bible teaches. But I do believe that there are principles involved that can be helpful in making our decision. And as we go through the New Testament, we find many passages that teach about the subject of giving, but none that specify a certain amount. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, teaches to give as we have been prospered. But as we can see, there's no rule laid down there as to how much of our prosperity to give. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 tells us that we should reap in proportion of what we sow, and that we should sow bountifully. But it does not tell us what would be considered bountiful. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 teaches us that we should purpose or plan what we will give, but it does not tell us how much we should purpose. Yet all of the New Testament teaching indicates that we should give liberally or to the best of our ability. So how do we determine what would be acceptable? And as I thought about this, I thought about using that old adage, give until it hurts. But you know what? I don't think that would be scriptural. I don't think that would be scriptural. We're told that giving is not to be done grudgingly. That comes from a Greek word that indicates sorrow, pain, grief, or with a sour, reluctant mind. So what Paul was really saying was that our giving should not be painful, but much to the contrary, it is something that God wants us to feel good about. So I'm not going to say give until it hurts. I'm going to say give until it feels good. Because that is scriptural and that is right. Brethren, when we give as we should, we come to know that there's real joy in giving and that we can achieve great satisfaction from knowing that we're doing the very best that we can. You know, it just stands to reason that we should feel good when we give because God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful in that passage comes from the word hilaris. It is the same root word from which we get the word hilarious. It indicates a pleasant, happy disposition that God wants us to have. Now, our giving should be something that we do only because we feel, should not be something that we do only because we feel that we have to. And make no mistake about it, if you are a Christian, you are to give. If you do not give, it's a sin, and you'll go to hell for it. It should not be something that we grumble about. It is something we should feel good about doing. When I pay my insurance on my cars, I don't feel good about it. When I write a check to get my oil changed, it doesn't make me feel particularly good. When I pay the water bill and the gas and electric bill, I can assure you I don't feel good about it. When Jane and I go to the grocery store, I can't say I feel real good about that. I pay my newspaper bill and that doesn't make me happy. I don't feel particularly good about spending any of the money we spend, but I know that most of these things are necessary. But I wrote a check for the contribution and that money goes to the Lord. I make it a habit to write my check for the Lord's work before one dime of my check is spent. I know that my check helps to provide a place for worship. It provides a means to carry on the preaching of the gospel, and it really makes a difference. And you know what? I feel good about that. I feel good about that. And I don't know about you, brethren, but when I miss a Sunday, whether sick or vacation or whatever, on the next week or the next 2 or 3 weeks, considering how long I'm off, I make up when I was out, I make up that difference when I come back. Why? Because the work of this Prairie Village goes on whether I'm here or not. That's the way I do it, and I hope you do too. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. And this time we'll look at verse 8. When you think about all the work that the contribution enables this congregation to do, you can't help but feel good about giving. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And brethren, when we give bountiful, bountiful work can be done. Now, when I was a member of another local large congregation here in Louisville, the money contributed there went to preaching the gospel in such faraway places as Japan and Philippines and India, Sri Lanka, Africa, Italy, Ireland, and several other foreign countries, not to mention all over the United States. That ought to make us feel good. In that same congregation, a daily radio program was sponsored, and I was co-host of that program. And our radio programs are very, very expensive, but it was made possible through contributions there. Thousands heard the truth every day. Hundreds took the correspondence course. Hundreds of tapes on the various subjects were sent out to listeners. Literally thousands and thousands of pieces of material, all of which teach God's truth, were mailed. And in 1 year and a half, 29 precious people were baptized. That has got to make you feel good. And all of that takes money, and it was given. Here at Prairie Village, we help three preachers. We help them teach, go overseas and to spread the gospel. That should make us feel good. There have been times when brothers and sisters in Christ need a little help financially to get them over the hump. And it can be given because we have given. And if you can't feel good about that, then you can't feel good. You've got a problem if that doesn't make you feel good. And brethren, we should feel good when we give because we're faithful stewards of the Lord. Now, a steward is one who manages that which belongs to another. When you think about it, everything we have has been given us by the Lord. It has been placed in our keeping for a while, and our job is to use it to the very best service that we can. So I'd like for you to come with me to a well-known parable, if you would, found in Matthew, the 25th chapter. It's the parable of the talents, and it begins in verse 14. Matthew 25 and verse 14. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.'" Now, isn't that what we all want to hear? Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's heaven. Isn't that what we're all striving for? Verse 22. He also that hath received the two other talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I soweth not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. I believe the point is obvious here. The point is obvious. God gives to us and he expects a return. And when we give to the best of our ability, giving back to the God which he has so richly blessed us with, great work can be done in his kingdom, and we show ourselves to be faithful stewards of that financial blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Brethren, that ought to make us feel good when we give to the best of our ability. Turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke 6 and verse 38. Now there's a statement made, the Lord made in Luke 6 and verse 38 is just so appropriate in a lesson on this subject. And I want us to look at it together. Jesus said, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The secret of receiving with joy is giving with joy, brethren. The secret of receiving with joy is giving with joy, and I think that's what the Lord is talking about there. And you know something, brethren? It's never a question of does the church need the money. That's never a question, does the church need the money. It is the church, it is just that the church will do everything with the money that it has. Of course the church needs the money just as much as we have been prospered. When you see the work that can be done, it can't help but make you feel good every time you give to the Lord upon the first day of the week. If you have been neglecting to fulfill this part of your responsibility as a Christian, remember, it is not a suggestion, it is a command. And when given cheerfully, oh brethren, it will make you feel so good when you give cheerfully. And understand now, brethren, money is not inherently bad. Its character depends upon the character of them that possess it. The danger is loving and trusting in it and making the wrong use of it. I want us to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a familiar passage that we don't read often enough. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul warns us in verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Listen now. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wealth within itself does not constitute a vice any more than poverty constitutes a virtue. Allowing money to develop the wrong attitude of heart and failing to consecrate power to the glory and honor of God is the thing that the Scripture condemns and warns against. The truly rich ones are the ones who have learned to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. The truly rich are those who share and care for others. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Remember that? The truly rich are those who have learned that godliness with contentment is great, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:6. The resolution to all of man's problems is a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21? Come with me if you'd like. Our last passage. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19. And think about what Jesus says here. Long time ago, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Think of what he said, brethren. Brethren, please do not let the love of money keep you from doing your Christian duty to give as the Lord has prospered you on the first day of the week as commanded by the Bible. Please, please, the point of our lesson this morning is do not let the love of money send you to hell. Please don't do that. If you've been remiss in your duty to give as you have prospered, repent to God and come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. And then you'll be on that road that leads to heaven. And if you're not a Christian, we beg you and we ask you to come forward now. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you too will be on that road that leads to heaven. And this is the day that we go home. This is the day Jesus comes back and we'll all go home together. If we can help anyone, if you need the prayers of the church, come forward now. If you need to become a Christian, come forward now. Let us help you before it's eternally too late. Come as we stand and as we sing.